Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello there, and welcome along to the GAA Postcast. Yes, get the tissues out, fight back the tears. It is the final GAA Postcast of 2018 as we preview the All-Ireland football final between defending champions Dublin and the Ulster superpower of Tyrone. It's live on RT and Sky Sports. And to join me, David Jennings, for this final Postcast of the year, I'm delighted to be joined by former Meath attacking ace Joe Sheridan and Paddy Ahern from our sponsors, Paddy Power. So we're going to have the show in two parts today. The first half, we're going to look ahead to the All-Ireland final. We're going to see where the value lies in the big match. And in part two, we're going to look back on the season and find some value for you in the Footballer of the Year markets, the Young Footballer of the Year markets, maybe a few All-Stars, and a team to watch out for next year, the team to get on now for 2019. But before we dissect 2019, let's dissect 2018. It's Tyrone v Dublin. Probably not the pairing we're all expecting at the start of the year, but it's the one we've got. And Paddy Ahern, can we get some prices and handicaps?
Yeah, we can indeed. Dublin are 1-6. It's a 14-1 the draw. Tyrone are 11-2. Dublin -6 are even money. Handicap draws 10-1. Tyrone +6 is even money also.
Okay, before we get stuck into the action, I have three questions for you, Paddy Ahern. Yeah. Number one, what is the biggest bet you've took singly on Dublin to win the match?
I think we have taken, kind of throughout the year, on the All-Ireland, we've taken about one or two five-grand bets, I think. But it's not, like, at the 1-6, I kind of thought that we'd have more money on it at the minute, really. I'd say that's going to ramp up closer to the game. But there hasn't been anything absolutely massive, like, in terms of what you'd expect for a 1-6 shot for an All-Ireland final. So I think £5,000 has been the most at the minute.
Okay, and if I got 6 out of 6 in a lucky 63 today and I decided to have £60,000 on Dublin at 1-6, would my bet be taken?
Depends what kind of customer you are now, David. Like, we'd have to go back through all these mug accumes with all the fans and stuff like that. No, generally, like, we'll try and accommodate customers for an All-Ireland final. If we can't have some confidence in these prices, I'm not really sure what we're at, you know, that kind of way. So we'd try and accommodate people as much as we could for big matches such as this.
Okay, question two. Dublin winning the All-Ireland, how bad of a result is this for Paddy Power? Just say, in the last 10 years, will this be one of your worst results in the football championship?
Absolutely not. Dublin winning the All-Ireland would be completely fine for us. There was a couple of multiples kind of ramping up with Galway and stuff like that, but they're all obviously, unfortunately, gone. And in terms of singles, we were pretty short in them all year, so we saw the danger a little bit through the league where, you know, other teams, Kerry weren't coming with as big a challenge as people might have expected with the likes of Clifford and Sean O'Shea coming in. Mayo as well were looking a little bit like, once they dropped out of it, we kind of saw pretty quick that there wasn't going to be many challengers coming up. So we were always sub-even money pretty much throughout the league. We were kind of ducking them for the most part. We took a lot of money during the league on Mayo, even on Galway. Now we're starting to take it on Tyrone. So all the money has been against Dublin, really. A lot of that is to do with the prices that they're going up. But yeah, if Dublin win by 2 or if Dublin win by 10 at the weekend, I think overall it's not going to be a bad result for us at all. We'll pretty much take it at this stage because all the money for the last couple of weeks has all been on Tyrone, including the handicap as well. The handicap is currently a loser on the plus and the match is a pretty chunky loser and will continue to be up until Sunday, I would say.
Okay, and finally, question number three. What is the dream result for Paddy Power in this final? Is it a draw?
Yeah, the dream result is probably, we actually have seen a few stakes in the draw. I think people are kind of taking the lead from the hurling championship. I think the dream result will be the handicap draw, the medal as we call it. If we can get the 6, I think it's going to be fine because you're going to knock out all the accumes. You're going to knock out all the, you'll obviously have a bit of multiple money on Dublin at 1-6, but we'll be just, I think at the minute we'll be happy enough to get Tyrone beat. As I said, the handicap at the minute is a loser on the plus. I would say closer to the match, that's going to go the other side, but it's going to be pretty level. And if you can just sweep all the stakes on that handicap draw at the 6, I think we'll be happy come Sunday evening.
Okie dokes. Joe Sheridan, you are part of the Meath team, the last team to beat Dublin in Leinster. And it was an incredible performance. I think, did you score 5 goals? Did you get one of them?
Yeah, we got 5 goals that day. I got one, I think, Stephen Bray, got one. Keane Ward got one. Brian Farrell, I think Stephen Bray could have got two that day. Yeah, so it was a...
It sounds like you're watching the game every night.
Sorry?
It sounds like you're watching a replay of the game every night.
Yeah, but I have to keep remembering.
Yeah, I got the goal. I got the goal in the 16th minute and 27 seconds. It was passed to me by Brian Mead, who flicked it on. But just tell people, since then and right now, why Dublin are 1-6 favourites to win the All-Ireland. It's an All-Ireland final. They say anything can happen. Why are Dublin so short?
Just from what they've done, the players that they have, the whole system they have in place, and just literally no one can get near them. And they still look like they've another year to go, to be honest. Even against Galway in the semi-final, you know, everyone's expecting Galway to put it up to them. They did for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then Dublin just cruised away and end up winning by about 12 or 14 points. You know? So it's when you give a team a chance, and then Dublin are just, no one really talks about Dublin, and they just go and do their business. You know, they're so professional in the way they turn out. They just do it simple. And their scoring ratio is incredible. What they score every game. I think they kicked two wides in the first half against Galway. You know, and it's not as if they, like, the players that you don't expect to do it, like some of these lads that come in their first year, like Sir Brian Howard, even Scully, I know he's been around, but he comes in and he does a job. You know, Cormac Costello is where he's going to be starting on Sunday. He'll come in and do a job. He done it last year in the All-Ireland final. You know, so he can do. He could, these players that come in and just come out and know Owen Merchant is another player. You know, so they just have this. These players, it seems so seamless to them that they can come in and take the position of, say, maybe a 3- or 4-time All-Star and have no problem doing that. So it's going to be very tough on Tyrone. And to be fair, Dublin at 1-6. It's probably about right.
And the point you made there about these players interchanging seamlessly, like, you look back on the legendary Kerry teams from years past, and you look back and there's legends like Bomber Liston and Pat Spillane and Jack O'Shea. Do you think in 20, 30 years' time, when we're old and fat and alcoholics, do you think we'll be looking back on this Dublin team and going, you know, Brian Fenton, what a player. Like, Kieran Kilkenny, is it just because we're in the middle of it at the moment that we're not appreciating these talents? And do you think that will happen in 20, 30 years' time?
Well, I think the appreciation of the Dublin team is up there. You know, a lot of people would see Brian Fenton as the Rolls-Royce footballer at the minute. You know, he can just do things so easily. He's just naturally such a gifted footballer. You know, same with most of the top-class Dublin players. Like, there's probably 7 or 8 of them, like Kilkenny, you know, Keane O'Sullivan. Like, he's played last 5 All-Irelands, started every All-Ireland. Stephen Cluxon, you know, these players, they'll be known around in 50 years' time as the best players that ever played the game. So when you do look back, I suppose when you're in the moment, you don't appreciate it as much. But when you do look back and you see what this Dublin team has done in the next even 10, 15 years, yeah, I think a lot of people start appreciating more. And it's hard for a Mead man to say that about Dublin, but you have to take your hat off to them and say, look, this is a fantastic job that they've done. Jim Gavin is just legendary. The stuff, like, you look at his figures, it's incredible what he's done. The amount of all, I think he's only lost 2 finals out of all the finals he's played in, and that's a phenomenal record. And just as you were mentioning with Jacko and the Bomber Liston, I was listening to Jacko the other evening on the station, and he was on about they just literally had 18 players for every game, and the same team would play the same every single game. And if a couple of lads got injured, you'd bring a few lads in. But with the Dublin team, you know, they could change their team. They could change 3 different lads from the semi-final, you know, and they'll bring in another 6 lads. So that's the difference with these players and the teams. They can just keep the momentum going the whole time, and it's very hard. And when you get to a certain level, they bring on their subs bench, empty it out, and next thing you're trying to chase them around as well. So it's just, you've got to hand it to Dublin, and you've just really got to praise them for what they've done over the last couple of years. And I know it's not great for the neutral watching football games. Dublin win by 7, 10, 15 points. But, you know, Dublin aren't going to mind that in a couple of years' time. They have 7 or 8 All-Irelands.
Absolutely not. Now, there's going to be people listening in thinking this is a Dublin love-in, but we've got a huge following in Tyrone. I think the whole of Tyrone are glued to their iPhones at the moment. Do you be glued to your iPhone when you're listening? I think you can be, yeah. So, for Tyrone fans, Paddy Ahern, all the talk is about Dublin, how it's going to be so comfortable for the All-Ireland champions. But, like, when I give you stats, like, even when they were beaten by Monaghan, they scored 116. They scored 2-14 against Meath, albeit after extra time. 3-14 against Carlow. They scored 18 points against Cavan. They scored 3-20 against Cork. They scored 4-24 against Roscommon. You know, they pushed Dublin right down to the wire. Did a late free to get within a point of Dublin in Omagh. They scored 2-17 against Donegal. And then they get over the line against Monaghan. So, like, maybe we're just being really harsh on this, their own team. And maybe they're not... Are people remembering last year's All-Ireland semi-final too much, do you think? And is this their own team being unfairly treated and painted with this brush of... Oh, they're so defensive, they're boring to watch, it's typical Mickey Hart. Like, the amount of people I have met in the last week or two who have said, oh God, I hope Dublin win. I know they've won the last three or four, or they've won four of the last whatever, but I still want Dublin to win because I hate Tyrone. There is a real anti-Tyrone bias out there, isn't there?
There seems to be, all right, yeah. I think that's stemming back from a good while. I think, like, if people really follow it closely, they'll remember that even when they won the under-21 in 2015, I think Tipperary people still are very sore about that whole situation and the way they kind of acted around that. I mean, I don't think it's very fair, to be honest. Like, there's you know, you kind of... I think they're a very different team to that kind of 2000 and... In those teams in the 2000s where you had the Rice and McMenamins and you had the kind of hard men who were kind of lying through that team, like, that's it's a very, very different team now. It's actually, like, it is quite defensive, and obviously, like, they're physical, but they're as physical as any other team, I think, in the country, really. But they have a lot of classy footballers as well. So, like, a lot of the footballers, like, a lot of the guys that they have, even as cornerbacks, like Michael McKernan, I wouldn't say plays cornerback for his club. He can play, he's very handy out the field. Parks Hampsey can play in the full back line, and he can also kind of track lads around midfield, and he can get up and down and score. Kieran McGeary is kind of the same. Cahill McShane can kind of go back into that half back line, but they've a lot of guys who can still play nice football and who can score and are nice footballers as well. The only problem is with them, I think, this weekend is how many of them. I know, like, they did give Dublin the game in Omagh, but I think it's a massively different situation when you're going into your first All-Ireland final for a lot of these guys. Colm Cavanagh was there in 2008, but he was a very small bit part figure. Like it's a whole new ball game for a lot of these guys coming up against real season campaigners who are, some of them are in their, what, sixth All-Ireland final maybe? And when I'm looking at the matchups that they're going to face on Sunday in Croke Park, I just think there's a lot of kind of Robin Peter to pay Paul in that Tyrone middle of the field, essentially. So, like, you're looking at who picks up Fenton. So if you're going to say Fenton might be picked up by Matty Donnelly, but then he might also pick up James McCarthy, and then somebody has to pick up James McCarthy. Who's going to mark Kieran Kilkenny? If Hampsey comes out and marks Kieran Kilkenny, you've a man marker who's kind of gone off Mannion. Like, Ronan McNamee is going to pick up Rock. Maybe McKernan picks up O'Callaghan, but then you still have Howard, who was really, really good in the first game, who's going to have to come up against somebody. Like, somebody is going to have to move over. Like, Kieran McGeary is going to have to move over on him. Like, if you want to basically cover all the Dublin top players, that little triangle, we'll say, of McCarthy, who's going to break through runs, Fenton and Kilkenny, you're going to have to put your best players in them. But then there's also Dubs on the other side of that kind of half forward line and half back line as well, because you still have McCaffrey kind of running, who McCann is going to try and pick up. But, like, you're just trying to pick up fellas everywhere. I know a lot of it's going to be crowded around that middle third, and people are going to try and mark space, but the only real two ones who are going to be, you know, completely on their own for the whole game is going to be Keane O'Sullivan and Colm Cavanagh, I'd say. And then when you just add all the kind of matchups up, like, these Tyrone guys, every single one of them from 2 to 7 and then from kind of from 10 to 15 as well, really, like, with scores, like, every one of them are going to have to shoot their lights out. They're going to have to hit the absolute top of their range to even stay within. So I think the most likely result is 5 or 6.
I could be wrong now, and I'm just I'm just going out on the limb here. I could be wrong, but it sounds slightly like you fancy Dublin.
I absolutely fancy Dublin. Like, when I look back, I know that the Omagh game was tight, and you're right in the sense that had Ron O'Neill put that score over, there would have been a point in it. I never really got the feeling the whole way through the game that Dublin were going to lose the match.
Don't get me that. That's because we know the result. I hate.
Dublin always look like winning. Up again, like, if you're pricing that game up in Omagh again, what's the handicap? It's not
well,
a point.
It's
a,
No, but it's obviously going to be it's not going to be six. It's going to be about three, I'd say.
Yeah, it's going to be about three, but that's Oma at home. So if you put that into a neutral venue, you're adding another point, maybe four. And then Croke Park is worth three again. So if anything, I think the handicap could be on the Dublin side. Like that's just from pricing it. Like, that's just the way I kind of approach it. Like.
Joe Sheridan, I'm going to put this to you now. Everybody is talking about Dublin's dominance, and of course, they're the most dominant team we've seen in our lifetime. 2013 final, they won by a point. 2015 final, they won by 3 points, 12-9. 2016 final, they won by 1 point. 2017 final, they won by 1 point. Like, they are not utterly dominant in these finals. Mayo have been the only team that have been able to really, really test them in recent years. And I'm going to put it to you that Tyrone are similar to Mayo going into an All-Ireland final in that they can actually match Dublin physically. They've got the fitness, they've got the physique, they've got the work done behind the scenes, and they are now physically able to match Dublin. And that will mean that they'll be able to keep within the 6 point handicap. Am I right or wrong?
I've been fighting this in my head the whole week about what's going to happen regarding the handicap and who beat it. But I agree that Tyrone have the physical attributes, they have the fitness as well. They're probably the only team in the country fit enough to stay with the Dublin team. I just don't think they have the players to match the quality that Dublin have. They probably have 9-10 players that will be on the somewhere around the same level, but the five other lads that Dublin have, I just think Tyrone are lacking in that department. I do think Tyrone are really going to stick at them, and if they have any hope, they've got to get off to a great start. They've got to really push up. They've got to do what Galway done, but take the chances. Like, Galway missed the penalty. They had the chance after they got the goal that they missed that one. You can't do that with Dublin. You have to take every single chance, and hopefully Dublin have a bad day. And in the All-Ireland finals that Dublin played, they haven't been outstanding. They've just got by, they've scraped by, and they have. They've probably been lucky in certain games, especially the one that was it last year against Mayo when sending off came. Like, they were well behind in the game, and Mayo would have went on to win the game if they'd stayed 15-15. But the problem is here, I don't think the Dublin team see Tyrone as much as a threat as Mayo and the likes of Kerry. I think that they can probably really see that they can go off and win the game, and it just depends, I think, on Dublin's attitude, what they're going to win by. To be honest, if Tyrone can keep it tight, they'll do it for maybe 50 minutes, 60 minutes. But I just can see Dublin. Like, I've been looking all year about how some team can beat this Dublin team. And I've been fighting it, and I've been trying to come up with different ideas. Galway was my team this year. They didn't do it. But when they did, and they actually put pressure on the full back line, you could see that Dublin run the pressure. And I think Tyrone have to go for that full back line. They have to put ball in. They have to move it in. I'm surprised Richie Donnelly is starting 4-4. He hasn't had a great year. He hasn't really been winning too much ball. I was hoping to shake it up a wee bit there, but look, you know, it'd be hard on him to drop for an All-Ireland final. But I just really think they have to go for that full back line. And if they've any hope, they've got to get a couple of goals. You know, as you said with ourselves a couple of years ago, we got five goals. You'll need four or five goals to beat Dublin in an All-Ireland final. And that's, I just can't see Tyrone doing that.
Paddy, I'm looking for a price from you now. You're a GAA odds compiler, and by all accounts and listening to people in the industry, you're very, very good at your job. So on the spot now, I want you to give me a price. Are you ready now?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, I want you to give me a price on the team that Mickey Hart named yesterday not starting the game. I will happily take 1-4.
1-4.
Yes. So you tell me what you'll give me.
I actually would have thought it was going to be around an 8-15 shot.
Well, that is the best 8-15 shot of all time. Let's get rid of this bullshit of naming teams during the week. The game has changed. As Joe said earlier on there, listening to Jack O'Shea on the radio, they had 18 players, the same team started every game, and it was a big thing, naming the team during the week. This is the team that plays. I play for an intermediate team in Meath, okay? And we're preparing for a match, maybe, and we're playing Saturday night against Duleek, okay? That team, I'd say on Wednesday night, the team that they're picking is different to the team that they might pick on Friday night with lads in training and lads with niggles and all that. The game has evolved. It's a squad game now. Give teams squad numbers. No, name the team like in the Premier League before the match, and that's it. Give them squad numbers. There is absolutely no way this Tyrone team will start the way it's been produced in the media. I think Lee Brennan will certainly start, and yeah. It's like just infuriating. From people from first goal scorer bets, points match bets. It's just infuriating. It's just get rid of it.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is definitely annoying. Just now that you say with the intermediate stuff, I did have to laugh last week because I saw a team sheet with a guy playing in the Galway Intermediate Football Championship last year, and he was named centre forward. And your man had broken his ankle, and he was actually the Stag in Prague in the same weekend.
There you go.
There you go.
And scored 2 points. Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to put this question to you now, Paddy, on Tyrone. Okay. I think the best bet on the coupon, and I'm going to put it out there first, I think it's an incredible price. It might sound short, but 4-6 for the second half to be the highest scoring half is incredible value. This should be 2-5. If you go back through Tyrone's recent games, okay, you go to the game against Monaghan, the go behind, the fall behind, there's 5, 6, 7 minutes to go, they attack, Niall Sludden gets a goal, they play Donegal, game they need to win. They're 3 points down. Looks like the game is going Donegal's way. They end up winning by 7. They play against Dublin. Dublin are cruising 6 points up early in the second half. They get it back to within 2 points and have a point to get within 1 point. Excuse me. Even against Roscommon in the earlier round, they didn't start that well. And in the second half, they ended up scoring 424 in total. This team is possibly as fit as the Dublin team and certainly the second fittest team in Ireland. Mickey Hart is going to be keeping it very, very tight in the first half. The key thing that he'll want to do is go man on man. There'll be no zonal marking. Colin Kavanagh will shuffle back as much as he can. They will not want Conn O'Callaghan or any other player to get that early goal that's going to completely upset their game plan. So I'm expecting it to be, 4-2 maybe after about 13, 14 minutes. But in the second half, both teams are going to have to go for it with 20 minutes to go. And I think that 4-6 is incredible value.
Yeah, like the only way I think it gets beat is if you turn into a Donegal type situation where Dublin are 4 or 5 up and then just decide we want to win an All-Ireland final here and just start tapping it around. They have been in, they didn't do it against Galway, fair enough, but I think there were kind of guys coming on trying to make names for themselves and trying to maybe play themselves into a final. I'm just not too sure. At that stage, it is going to, and the handicap as well could depend on Dublin's attitude at that stage. I totally agree with you with in terms of Tyrone's fitness. And if Dublin subs want to come on and the likes of Cormac Costello come on and win the game by however much there was, then yeah, there could be value in that 4-6, I'd say.
Okay, dokes, right. It's decision time, lads. We want, first of all, the best bet on the match coupon. And as I said, there's a couple that I go for. I think Dublin to win by 1, 2, or 3 points. You could go for Tyrone +6. But as I said, I think Tyrone, or the second half to be the highest scoring half, I think is probably the best bet. So the best bet in the coupon, Joe, we're going to come to you first.
Yeah, as you spoke about for the whole year, Tyrone, when it comes to Tyrone, they'll score goals. And I think Tyrone and Dublin, both teams to get a goal at 10-11, I think is a great bet. I think Tyrone also to get the first goal, I think they really have to push out and try and put pressure on the Dublin team, and they, I think they will. They'll get the first goal as well at 8-5. So both teams to get a goal at 10-11, I think it's a great bet, to be fair. And Tyrone scored the first goal at 8-5.
Okay, lovely stuff. Paddy, your best bet on the coupon?
Yeah, you'll be going far enough down the coupon to find it, I'd say. But I was having a look at Niall Morgan's total points around the place. He wouldn't score half as much as you'd actually think.
I tipped him not to score in the semi-final.
We're even money under a point, and I think there is bigger out there. So like you say, he didn't score in the semi-final. He hasn't scored. He didn't score in Omagh. He didn't score in the All-Ireland semi-final last year. He didn't score against Roscommon either. He got a point, which he kind of had to get to save his bacon, I think, after the kick out against Donegal. But the thing about him is, like, he doesn't get that many opportunities, and even if he does, he's not like Rory Beggan, really. Like his stats wouldn't be up where they should be, basically. Like, so even if he gets a chance, I don't think he's guaranteed to score.
So we're going under 0.5 points.
Yeah, under 0.5 points, Niall Morgan scores. Yeah,
and the key thing here, I think, and we'll add to your claims, is if Lee Brennan does start. If Lee Brennan starts, I think that's going to be the key, because he's going to be hitting them 45-yard frees. Now, Paddy, can we have a... Because it's the All-Ireland final, I do see these up on the Paddy Power website. Colm O'Rourke's treble, all these trebles, O'Mulligan's treble. Can we have a Racing Post treble on both teams to score a goal, the second half to be the highest scoring half, and Niall Morgan not to score a point?
Yeah, no problem. We'll
call it the Racing Post podcast banker treble. That's what we're going to call it.
Yeah, that sounds, yeah. We'll do that off in season. No hassle.
Great stuff. About 16-1 would be lovely. And can we get a first goal scorer and man of the match pick from yourself, Paddy?
Yeah, first goal score, I thought, if you remember the Oma game as well, I know McConnell Callaghan got the first goal last year, but I think it is going to be a runner from deep. I think people are just going to punch holes, and I was so impressed with McCaffrey against Galway.
Oh, like, don't be stealing my tip.
Yeah, I did. My God, he's just... There's nothing about him, like, there's nothing about him that suggests that he should be as good a footballer as he is, but he's so good, like, he's brilliant. I think he's every chance of first goal, 16-1. I think he's every chance of a man of the match as well, but I'll go one further, and I think there's a nice price out there for a man of the match nomination on Philly McMahon. I think there's around, like, we're 5-1 on site, but if you think about that 2015 game, by all accounts, if you believe the folklore that came out of it, McMahon had got that man of the match, that they had decided they were going to give it to him in 2015, and then the eye gouging stuff came out against Kieran Donaghy, and for whatever reason morality hit the RTE studios and they decided to give it to Fenton. But
do you know that Brian Fenton got man of the match in that All-Ireland final, and Brian Fenton was not even nominated for the initial when it was given to Philly McMahon. He was really, not even in the first three, and he ended up getting it.
Yeah, but Philly was brilliant that day. And in All-Ireland finals in general, even in the Mayo ones, I think he just loves that big occasion. I think there's a far too big price out there to be nominated, at least. Because if you think about it as well, since Bernard Brogan in 2013, a forward hasn't got man of the match in All-Ireland final. And as you said, that Fenton one in 2015, he's really the only midfielder, and he nearly didn't get it off first hand as well. So I think backs are definitely being underestimated in the market.
Okay, well, I'm going to go for a Jack McCaffrey love, and I'm going to tip him to get the first goal. I'm going to tip him for man of the match, and I'm going to tip him for footballer of the year. So get them three prizes ready for me, Paddy O'Hearn, and we'll go to Joe Sheridan for his selection on first goal scorer and man of the match in the All-Ireland final.
Yeah, well, I'm literally on the same wavelength as two of you lads. I went for Jack McCaffrey, man of the match, 12-1. I just think, he's... The last couple of games, he's really coming into his own, and there's no one get his pace is just incredible. He's not the most natural footballer, but his pace just gives him that extra yard to be able to do what he wants. I think first goal scorer, as I said, I think Tyrone will get the first goal, and the old man, Davey, Niall Sludden at 12-1. I think he'll be coming from deep. He played well the last day. He's coming to a good bit of form. I think he'll be well suited to this stage, and 12-1 for the first goal. I'll be going with Niall Sludden. So I also just I see there Kieran McGeary, if he starts to score any time at even money, I think is a great bet. You know, if he does start, I think even money, he's definitely going to get a point or two. And even money for Kieran McGeary to get a point, I think is a great bet as well.
Lovely, we like a bit of that. Kieran McGeary to score a point at even money. Paddy O'Hearn, have you got some Jack McCaffrey prices for me?
Yeah, he is 12-1 for man of the match. He's 16-1 for the first goal, and footballer of the year, he's 8-1 at the minute.
Oh yes, I think 12, 16s and 8s. I think you could keep your eyes on Jack McCaffrey in the All-Ireland final. It could be a big payday. So that's our look at the 2018 All-Ireland football final, but do not dare go anywhere, because after the break we'll be looking at the Footballer of the Year markets, the All-Star markets, and we're going to get a team to watch out for in 2019 from our two guests.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new, fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to our All-Ireland Football Final postcast. I'm David Jennings from the Racing Post, and I'm still joined by Paddy O'Hearn from our sponsors, Paddy Power and Joe Sheridan. So we're going to look back on the 2018 Football Championship. And before we get into our Footballer of the Year fancies and All-Stars, a highlight from both of you lads. Paddy, we'll come to you first, because Joe might need a few minutes to think about it. If you were to pick out one individual highlight, we asked this in the hurling, and it was so easy, people could have picked 9, 10 highlights of the year. And the football hasn't been so easy, but if you could pick maybe one highlight of the championship so far, what would it be?
Can I just go and not pick loads of hurling, no?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, my highlight of the year, I would imagine, was... it's a personal one as well, but I think it was Johnny Heaney's goal against Mayo. It wasn't the best of games up in Castle Cabar, but it was a real kind of...
No, it was a smash and grab raid. It was, yeah, it was robbery.
It was, but it was a
He's
great...
He's like, shite.
Yeah, but if you think about it, and he kind of lit up the championship later on as well from a Galway point of view, was when Ian Burke came on and he kind of got out in front, won that ball and popped it off, and it was just a complete sucker punch. Yeah, a lot of people would say that it was the might have been the defining moment in Mayo's season because, you know, had they beaten Galway and then gone on to win Connacht, they're in a Super 8 and things could be very, very different. But yeah, definitely for me, that was my moment of it. Anyway.
Okay, I'm going to give mine next. And for me, it was very straightforward. I thought the Kildare-Mayo match in Newbridge, all the build-up to the game, Newbridge or nowhere, I just thought that second half performance by Kildare was fantastic, and there was a brilliant atmosphere in Newbridge. Some ridiculous long-range point scoring in that match. That was, for me, that was the game I enjoyed most of the season so far. So it would be Kildare's win in Newbridge for me would be the highlight of my year. Joe Sheridan, your highlight of the championship?
Yeah, it'd probably be because of the way football's gone and the natural footballers are nearly not as popular and is not sort of as out there as they used to be. David Clifford coming into the senior championship this year was just a breath of fresh air. His natural ability, you know, where you see a lot of players now, they're more sort of based on their strength and condition than their football ability. You know, he's just so natural. And his goal, obviously, against Monaghan, to Rob Monaghan in that game, and also then his performance against Kildare in the last game was just exquisite. You know, he's just so confident. The way he talks, he's just the perfect footballer that you'd want on your football team. And he's an all-round team player. And, you know, he's got, thankfully, Kerry have kept him from the AFL, and he's just going to be an all-star for years to come. And he'll probably go on to win football of the year a couple of times, and I'm not putting pressure on him, but that's just the ability he has, and I think he knows that himself. And even listening to Kerry footballers, it was a delight to watch, and I look forward, and hopefully injury-free, he'll have a great career.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great shout. And his shot conversion rate actually is just ridiculous in the championship for such a young player. It's incredible. Like, I think it's like up on the high 80s or something percentage is shot conversion rate. So that brings us on nicely to the Footballer of the Year market. And Paddy O'Hearn, just give us a nice long list, maybe taking 9 or 10 players in the Footballer of the Year market.
Yeah, no bother. We'll go down to 33-1 anyway. Kieran Kilkenny's even money favourite. Brian Fenton 11-4. Jack McCaffrey 8-1. Colin Kavanagh 8-1. Brian Howard 16-1. James McCarthy 20s. Niall Sludden 20-1. Paul Mannion 33s. Johnny Cooper 33s. Peter Hart 33s. And Tiernan McCann 33s. 50-1 Barney.
There's obviously been a surge of support for Kieran Kilkenny. I don't think he was that short after the semi-final, was he?
No, but it has just ramped up completely. We've had, generally, it's funny enough, it is on both codes, it can be quite a tricky market to make money on when the media get behind a certain player. We've seen it big time in the hurling this year, that people tend to latch onto that a hell of a lot. And it is all voted by players now, but people have to, you know, obviously the expert have to nominate who the three or four, as it was last year, are. But the more people are being talked about, the more guys are in people's head, they kind of come to the fore. And then, as you see as well, like, if you look back at the footballer and the hurler of the years from going back the last 20 years, like, it's so based on the final, it's based on the semi-final, it's business end of the championship. Whoever comes to the fore there generally has the best chance.
Okay, so who would your pick be for player of the year?
My pick is based on price more than anything else. I'm looking
Nothing wrong with that?
Yeah, I'm looking around on like, I actually think that I think I'll probably end up agreeing with you that Jack McCaffrey has a brilliant chance, like, because you just know he's going to play really well in the final. If he gets man of the match, he's going to get it. The one I liked at a huge price, which could be music to your ears as well, is there was a price of around 50-1 on Niall Sludden to get Footballer of the Year. So if you think of Niall Sludden, like, if you want to back him this weekend at 20-1 or 22-1 to be man of the match, like, if he's man of the match this weekend, I can't see how he's not Footballer of the Year. Like,
oh, certainty, yeah.
Do you know, I think, like, it's not really a game that's going to suit Colin Kavanagh. He's probably been, like, obviously he was brilliant in the Monaghan game, but I don't know, is he going to stick out as much in the All-Ireland final? If this guy has been Tyrone's second, if not best player, like, throughout the year. He's been taking on the mantle of their scoring from play. Like, if he's anywhere near man of the match, I think he's a definite runner. Because if you think about the last dub who's won it, even how dominant they are, has been Jack McCaffrey in 2015. Mm. Lee Keegan and Andy Mourne have got the vote. So basically, if there's two dubs in it, so if it's nominated as Kieran Kilkenny and Brian Fenton, like, in straight away, that's the dubs kind of half splitting the vote, really. And if there's one Tyrone guy in it, he could pick up the pieces. So I definitely thought from a value point of view, he was worth a few quid.
Yeah, as you know, myself and Niall Sutton go back a long way. Our romance started in about 2012.
That's right.
We went out on a few dates. We got on quite well for quite a few years. Unfortunately, he's got a restraining order against me now.
Yeah.
But our restraining order hadn't started in the 2017 Championship. And I went to Croke Park really hopeful that Tyrone would do a job on Dublin. They were actually quite a short price for last year's All-Ireland semi-final. And of course, my eyes were staring at Niall Sutton for most of the game. But I'm convinced, and after watching that game, he did actually play quite well. He was probably Tyrone's best forward in that match. But I think Jim Gavin has him sussed. I think you'll see potentially Jack McCaffrey, maybe. I don't know what way they're going to do it. Maybe Owen Merchant might be asked to do a man-marking job.
Yeah, I would say Merchant probably. Yeah.
And what you'll see is, and people can watch this and you'll see it, watch the way, if it is Merchant, is asked to mark Sutton, because he'll just stand goal side of him, stopping them runs. You watch every time. I guarantee you, during the All-Ireland final, Niall Sutton will not get one ball just say popped into him. He'll be running off the shoulder. He'll get behind the play and try to come with a run off the shoulder. And I just think that's my one worry for my one and only Niall Sutton, is that maybe Jim Gavin has him sus. But hopefully not, and hopefully you are right and that he can be player of the year. Joe Sheridan, who's your idea for footballer of the year?
Yeah, as Paddy said, a lot of it's driven by the media, you know, the talk and the hype and just whatever players are being talked about, which I think is wrong, you know. And also,
we could be influencing it here. Maybe the people sitting on the panel are listening to this podcast now.
Oh, well, I'd imagine so. And they should probably listen a bit closer and maybe take our advice. But I'd be thinking Jack McCaffrey as well. He's always played well in the finals. He had a great game the last game and in the Super 8. So 8-1 is a massive price. I think just Kieran Kilkenny, obviously at the beginning of the season, he was flying. Championship, the first couple of championship games, probably against lesser opposition, he'd done well, but I don't think he's played as well over the last couple of games. Fenton is just a general. He'll always be there because he's so consistent. He always plays well, but he hasn't really shone to a level that he's the player of the match in most games. He's been top two or three. But I don't think he has many man of the matches this year anyway. So I think if McCaffrey gets man of the match, obviously he'll be front runner for player of the year then as well. But I can't see anyone, obviously for tipping Dublin, I can't see anyone outside of a Dublin player getting man of the match or player of the year.
Okie dokes. And moving on to our All-Star markets. And Paddy, had you much of a say in these All-Star markets?
Yeah, a decent one. Yeah, there's a few of us, myself and Damien mainly, but there's a bit of a brain trust there, right?
How on earth, and I just can't get my head around this, because obviously, you know, this is big punter territory, and it would be the big punters that would have to get involved in this price. But surely to God, Rory Beggan at 2-5 is literally picking up money off the street. Should this not be 1-25?
I think, yeah, Cluxton is the danger in the market. Like,
but sure, how could he be a danger? He was at fault for the goal against Galway. He's conceded goals. He couldn't get it last year when he had his best ever year. So how is he going to beat a player who has basically, Cluxton started the revolution, Rory Beggan has started the new revolution of goalkeepers basically scoring constantly and punishing fouls outside the 45. His kickouts have been superb. Like, I just don't see how this is not at least a 1-5 shot.
Yeah, and he also tried to win the game with the craziest efforts.
Of course,
that anyone is ever going to remember. Like, I think that deserves
a slap on the wrist for that.
Yeah, right. I think it harms him. I'm not sure is it going to cost him. But like, in fairness to Cluxton, like he stood up in that semi final. He saved. I know he made a bit of a cock up for the Comer goal, but he's still come back and he's saved the penalty.
Stop! You would have saved the penalty. He was a bloody dribbled along the ground.
Yeah, but this is the funny thing. Like, even back in 2016, when people thought he was going to retire and stuff like that, they were kind of going, like, in 2016, he single-handedly nearly cost them the game against Kerry. in a 5 minute period, and he was still nearly favourite for footballer of the year at the end of that year. Like, there does seem to be kind of a narrative around him that when is he going to give up, and people kind of think that he kind of deserves this All-Star, that kind of stuff. Like, there's no question that Beggin is a favourite, and like, he should be a heavy favourite, and I think we're kind of saying that with the 2-5 to 2-1, but it just does depend. Like if they go out and if he's stroking kickouts and if he's 100% record and happens to make a save or two on Sunday and Dublin win comfortably, then he's banging the mix again.
Do you know what? I don't even think it'll make any difference. I really don't. Possibly. I think this is done and dusted. I think going into other years, you've got Cluxton and Clark, you know, they've been, you know, neck and neck, and this time you've got a proper rival who's had an incredible year. So yeah, I just think that 2-5, I think that's huge. And on the same note, I think there could be an anti-Monaghan bias in your prices, but Carlo Connell at 1-3 looks a huge price to me as well. So they're my two at prices. I know they're short, 2-5 and 1-3. Unfortunately, for some bizarre reason, Paddy Power have decided you cannot combine All-Star tips. But they're my two. Paddy, what's your value in the All-Star markets?
The one I kind of liked, I think it's going to be very interesting with the All-Stars this year, because what they changed it last year to nominate just backs, just midfielders and just forwards, which is the way it should be, because that really should mirror, like, you know, when was the last time any team played 3.5 backline? Like, you're probably going back 10 years. Teams just don't do it anymore, so they should just be nominated as a collective kind of group of backs. But if you look at, like, the best players this year have all been half backs. There's no way, like, that's kind of the reason we're a little bit tentative in the Carl O'Connell kind of realm, as, you know, how many half backs are they actually going to give All-Stars to? Because you can have, like, Tiernan McCann, James McCarthy, Jack McCaffrey, Brian Howard, Carl O'Connell, and then
he's,
you know,
probably ahead of them all at this stage, though.
Yeah, he probably is at this stage, all right. I do. I think, like, there's a bigger price than the 1-3 that we have. I do think that he's, yeah, I think he's a massive chance. But it is just, like, there's kind of interesting ones, like if Padraig Campsie came out and had a really good game this weekend, Philly McMahon as well, if he was to do as I say and get nominated for Man of the Match, he plays himself into it. I think we're going to see a load of half-backs as opposed to, you know, the token cornerback or fullback that gets in there, really. I think we're going to, like, there's a good chance I think we might see one, maybe two actual fullbacks, and then everyone makes up the other half back line. In terms of a value point of view, I thought that, I think there is a kind of a thought process out there about Comer amongst a good few people that he was kind of Galway's best player this year. I've met a lot of people who don't agree with that are kind of coming back with Walsh and coming back with Ian Burke, but I do think within the media, and that I think there is a bit of a love in for Comer, and I think of the Galway guys, he will get an All-Star considering the goal against and that outrageous point. I know the game was over against Dublin, like, he had a superb league and he was always kind of Galway's target man or go-to man. I still think in terms of the media, in terms of who's going to be picking this, that he's going to be at the top of their list in terms from a Galway point of view.
Couldn't agree more. 10 to 11. I think that's value as well. Joe Sheridan, where does the value lie in the All-Star markets?
Yeah, I'm going for my man Damon Comer again. I think 10 to 11. I think the full forward line is nothing really standing out, with Dean Rock probably not having a great year as he did last year and the year before. You know, they have kind of managed to 1-50. I think that's it's a bit far out now. He's played well, but I don't think he's that much of a cert for an All-Star. Clifford, obviously, I think he's just on the last couple of games, he's going to get in. I think Paul Campsey could be a great shout at 7-4. He, as Paddy was saying, the full back line, there's not much apart from Johnny Cooper. Who else is going to be around? Maybe Drew Wiley from Monaghan, but I can't see them. They might get two or three All-Stars at Monaghan at this stage. And I think Paul Mannion now could be a bit of a shout at 4-1. He played very well the last day. He's kicked a few great scores, 3 or 4 points every game. And if he has a good game and he comes out with maybe 4 or 5 points or maybe 1-2, I think he could be a great shout for an All-Star, because he could go in a half forward or he could win a corner forward. I think he could be a shout, because I think Brian Howard at 4-6, I think he's had a couple of good games in sort of some of the smaller games, but in the last couple of games he probably hasn't stood out as much, and I just don't think he's that much of a cert as people might think he is. And I think if Paul Mannion has a good game in the final, I think he could be a realistic chance at 4-1 of getting All-Star.
Lovely stuff. And before we finish up and wrap up our final postcast of the year, a team to watch from both of you for the 2019 Football Championship. And Joe, don't you dare say Meath.
Well, look, we've got to be hopeful and we've got to have some sort of a...
Yeah, but we have to be realistic as well, Joe.
Am I going to say Meath? No, I'm going to hope we have a good year and we start to move forward. And that's the only thing we can hope for with Meath at the minute. So that's where I'm not even Meath. I obviously think Galway for next year. They will be better again. I think, is there a couple of the boys coming back from the AFL that will be joining up with them? And, you know, obviously with Conroy coming back as well from the leg break, it'll be another boost for them. They'll be a massive addition next year for Galway. I do think Mayo, if they get the right man in, I think they have a great chance with the under-21s they can bring on from the last couple of years. If they can mix them in well with some of the senior players, I think Mayo, obviously along with Dublin, but I think they're the two teams that if we look out for next year, Galway and Mayo.
Lovely. Paddy Hearn, your team to watch out for in 2019?
Yeah, I have to echo Joe there. I think Galway, and the main thing, like you would have said, a failing of Galway this year was maybe there was a lack of pace in that half-back line. It was experience, shall we say, and they played very well against Kerry, but like when in the real business end, you wanted youth and you wanted a little bit more pace coming from there. And then Liam Silk, who's going to be back, who missed this year, and then this guy, as Joe just kind of alluded to, Killian McDade. He's like, if anyone watched the All-Ireland Under 21 final last year, he looks a really, really, really good player. He's tons of pace. He just loves running at people. He would have had the year in AFL that kind of would have conditioned and strengthened him up a small bit as well. And I think he'd be tailor-made to come back into that Galway half-back line. And I think they're going to be really improved for it.
Great stuff. So that's it for our All-Ireland final postcast. My thanks to Paddy Ahern and Joe Sheridan. Before we go, a quick thank you to producer Jack, who is producing his last show. Moving on to sunnier climates, I suppose. Moving on from the Racing Post, Jack has done all the producing on the GA postcast throughout the year and even stood in for me when I was on holidays and did a far better job. So my thanks to Jack. So if you did enjoy these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes or any other platform you are listening to us on. Thanks a million for joining us throughout the GA season. We'll be back again at the start of next year's championship.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BGambleAware.org.